Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be here with you. Let's start the hour with a chance for you to win some HTO. All you got to do is text the keyword TEA to 20357. I get your free cup of iced tea. More than 26 flavors to choose from. You can go inside. You can try them all for free. And this will be good in East or West Wichita or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. Again, that's T to 20357. Message and data rate supply. You can enter once per day. Glad to be here with you, Tommy. Glad to be here with you, Max. Glad to be here with you, everybody, on Sports Daily. We've had a lot of great NBA playoff action. These games are repeatedly tight, competitive, compelling. As somebody who didn't watch really much, if anything, in the regular season, the playoffs have delivered a great deal for me personally. You get the Pacers putting the Cavs, the number one seed, in an 0-2 hole last night, despite almost a 50-point, 10-assist game from Donovan Mitchell. And you had the Warriors continue the road trend, getting a win over Minnesota stylistically in a game that Golden State was able to slow down. I think Minnesota would like to run them. They couldn't get it done. And the old guys in Golden State are getting it done still. I think there's a lot of compelling stuff happening, Tommy. It's funny now, Golden State's become like the old guard, right? It's like a bunch of old dudes trying to still win a title, and then all these great young teams, and it's a good playoff mix. And I don't even, who's the favorite right now? I'll look that up, but I think it's wide stinking open.
Well, it is. I mean, especially considering that the Thunder lost their opening game, and I think that they're at least in the West. They have been at least the prohibitive favorite,
the favorite,
right?
So the Thunder are the favorite,
but they are down one game to none, and so they've got to get a win here in game two. Then that game is tonight, correct? That they play, I believe against the Nuggets. So they've got to even up that series, and then really in the East, going into this series, did you think the Cavs? Weren't the Cavs
It's still the Celtics.
Okay. Right?
And I say that because the Cavs are down 0-2. I'm just looking as of today. But the Celtics are defending champs, and they're still, they're still favored in this series against the Knicks. But the two favorites, are down 1-0. So I think that Celtics Knicks series feels like it's going to be pretty dramatic. I do think that Boston's so talented. They had to miss 45 threes to lose in overtime. That keeps popping into my head. Boston might overmatch them, but I think with Brunson, it's going to make it a compelling series. Nuggets Thunder is really interesting, right? We don't talk about Denver at all, and they have the unstoppable player, and they've got talent around him. Now, it was a buzzer beater to win that one. And they would have lost if he didn't hit it. It wasn't like it was a tie game. So it was that close. I hope it's Oklahoma City because I think that's cool for people around here. And I think they, I think they've rebuilt a team, Tommy. If you let's go all the way back to when their big three got broken up finally. Did anybody ever think Oklahoma City was going to be able to get back there? I mean, really. There's plenty of purgatory in the NBA for small market teams, right? Like, there are a lot of teams that are never good. And it's not even small market. It's just in general, like the Capitals, the Wizards, the Hornets, the Pelicans, like the Pistons are finally turning it around. Like, there are teams that have been bad and have stayed bad for a long time. I don't know that anybody thought Oklahoma City would ever be able to get back to where they were. And this team might be better than any of those teams with Durant, Harden, and Westbrook.
You know what I love about what the Thunder have done under Sam Presti is that they stayed the course. They had their strategy. They knew exactly the way they were going to go about building it. They weren't going to let outside noise distract them. It would have been really easy during the super lean years when they were really bad and they were picking high in the draft and they were, you know, doing all of that and kind of like rebuilding, you know, the team and the roster and, you know, trying to get that cupboard back where it should be. It would have been really easy for them to be like, you know what, we've got to abort, we've got to pivot, we have to change course. It's not working. We don't have the patience to get through this rebuild. They didn't do that. I mean, they committed fully to the way that they were going to rebuild this roster. It got to the point to where, when was it, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, when they put the youngest roster in the NBA on the court? And I know that at least nationally, they were kind of made fun of. Like, man, look at these babies, you know, like out here on the court, and they're just going to get beat up and down totally. But it really worked out. It's really paid off. And those guys have their battle scars. They've been able to get experience in the NBA. And look at them now. I mean, look at where this team and organization is now. So, again, they're down 1-0 in this series. They've got to even the series tonight against Denver and move forward on that. But just holistically, the way that they've been able to rebuild the roster and put it all together, I think it's to be respected and admired that it's easy to get cheap wins and to go out and try to sign guys to, you know, super max deals and all of that. That's not the way the Thunder have built their team, and it seems like it's paying off in dividends.
And not just that, like Chet Holmgren was the guy that they took with that number one overall pick, all that. I mean, he's been fine. He's been often injured, as we feared, but even when he's played, he hasn't been like Wimbenyama or something. Like, he's been okay. He's been pretty good. But like, even despite that, and that would be, again, crippling for a lot of teams. Like, I think it's one of the more impressive things that has happened in the NBA is that they've been able to get back to the top of the peak after what they had, and they lost it all and they couldn't ever get over the hump. To be there now is just a really, really cool story. So I kind of find myself, I think, rooting for them, but I'm rooting for a lot of things. Like, I'm rooting for Jalen Brunson. I think the Knicks fan base deserves it. Like, if there's any fan base that deserves it, like, they'd be up there. So there's a lot of really cool things happening. I've always had a soft spot for the Pacers back to the Rick Smith's days, you know, and Reggie Miller and those teams. So there's a lot to love with the NBA playoffs, and we'll continue to watch those. The NHL playoffs roll forward. Now, I'm trying here. I can't believe Edmonton, Max, came back. When I left that game, Vegas had just gone up 2-0. It was early, but I was like, okay, there it goes. And then Edmonton comes storming back. The Canadian teams have got a shot here to break the trend. I'm saying, like, Max, I mean, your bet for me to win a driver is two Canadian teams. Like, the Canadians are making a push this year.
I told you.
Well, listen, easy.
Toronto is overdue.
Like, it's a little early for that.
Toronto's
really
overdue. And if Winnipeg is the best team, but Edmonton will be tough to get by. But there'll be two Canadian teams in the finals.
Okay. I hope it's the right two so that I can get a driver. For those that haven't, like, Max put me on a Winnipeg Toronto Stanley Cup final. And if the bet hits, I'm going to get a new driver. That's what the goal is. So, you can fall in line there. I've got a buddy who's become a Carolina Hurricanes fan. He decided he was going to be a hockey fan, and Carolina was the team he attached to. They get a win last night over Washington. I like seeing that. Nobody needs the Capitals to do anything. And then, you know, you get other good action tonight. I got my two teams going tonight.
By the way,
Max,
did you,
maybe I need to follow that up with just a straight, you know, hedge Toronto, Winnipeg, win their games tonight kind of a bet. But the NHL play, yeah, look, the NHL playoffs, all you don't even have to know a player or a team. You just watch them and you're like, this is awesome.
Did you catch, by the way, the comments, the NHL comments that our president made yesterday? Did you hear about any of that?
No.
So
he made some FIFA comments.
Well, he was talking about Canada, right? And like that's the whole big thing, like the 51st state and like, you know, all that whole thing. So he's talking about it, and he mentioned something about Canada, and I think the new prime minister of Canada was with him, and you know, he was talking, he goes, yeah, like I love the people of Canada. I love Canadians. I love all that. And then he makes a comment about like, you know, you guys also have a really, really good hockey player. You know, that's, you know, Canadian. He was referring to Alexander Ovechkin, who is Russian. He's not Russian, Canadian, yeah. But he's, you guys have a great hockey player. Well, he plays for a Canadian team. He's not Canadian, you know, so he's talking
Ovechkin
about
doesn't play for the Capitals anymore.
I mean, he referenced Ovechkin and the record that Ovechkin had broken and all of that. So that's what he was.
I saw him talk a little trash during the FIFA thing where he was, you know, the FIFA guy said something about United States and Mexico and Canada. And he was like, hold on, you said USA first. Like, yeah, he's a sports guy. He's a sports fan. I mean, he always has been, whether it's pro wrestling or fighting.
He owned a football team. Part of the USFL. Like
he ruined the USFL.
So I don't mind at all, like a little trash talking for Go USA. I got to be honest, like if I was in any position of like ownership or anything, I would talk a lot of trash. Like as a sports fan, you like let that bleed through. That's funny. I didn't catch that with Canada. It's hard because Max has me on this bet, but I do take a sense of pride in Team USA, you know, USA all the way, that Canada hadn't been able to get the Stanley Cup finals. And if I get my driver, that trend's going to be bucked. And, you know, I like our friends up in Canada. So this is the year. They've had a rough year. It's by perception to us anyway. So maybe this is the year. I need a new driver. That's really all that matters. So Max, let's get this done. NHL playoffs are always a lot of fun. All right, coming up. Tommy and I must disagree on this because it's been coming up a lot. Like how the concern level for the Royals offense, what does it mean big picture? What do they need to be thinking? We started to get into that a little bit earlier. We'll continue that discussion. We'll look ahead on their schedule as well as they try to stay white hot. How much longer can they keep this kind of a run going? We'll look at all that. When it comes to the Royals, we've got some comments on the Royals as well we need to get to. So we'll go there. Sri Islata coming up later in the hour. Don't go away. More Sports Daily.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a supporter here of Sports Daily, getting everything shaped up and ready to roll there, getting ready to start building up for the Wichita Open. That'll be a lot of fun out there, as it always is. There's a big Memorial Day bash coming up to sort of celebrate the start of summer, and that's where things really pick up at Crestview, with the pool and the tennis and the events and all the kids' camps. There's kids' camps every day in the summertime. If you are looking for something this summer, maybe a little different than what you thought, give Crestview a call. Ask them about all their different memberships. They have all kinds of stuff. It's not just the golf. They have different memberships that don't even include the golf if you're not a golfer. But check it out. Tommy and I and the families are both out there. We both greatly enjoy it and would love to see you out there. All right, we come back here to Sports Daily. Let's continue our conversation on the Royals. A couple of comments here. Rick, great to hear from Rick. It's been a minute. Rick's a great Royals fan. This is in reference to Jack Caglione, who we mentioned in the first hour, had another couple of home runs yesterday. He's destroying the ball in Double A. What's his path? Rick says the outfield isn't a horrible idea with India already there. You want to risk Cags out there with hardly any experience. He's more likely to get hurt out there. I don't know about all that. He's not going to be a center fielder running them all down. You'd put him in right, and then Massey would be the odd man out there because India would become your second baseman, I think, in that scenario. And I'd be fine with that at this point if it's an upgrade to a guy like Cags. But it's not going to happen anytime soon. That he's played, I think, like two games in the outfield. It's not like that's not something they're prioritizing right now. There's no doubt about that. That's why it's probably not going to happen for a while either, because they don't have a place to put him. But the offense is still struggling, Tommy. It's still near the bottom of the league in a lot of categories. I think you and I are on different wavelengths here. Obviously, they're winning, and they're winning despite it right now. They didn't, though. For me, the problem is they didn't when they played good teams. It's not all that much better than it was in totality. I will say, though, there are specific players that are starting to hit much better than they were when they were struggling. So I think a lot of the improvement can come internally. I think the crux of it for me is, like, as it currently stands, is it going to be enough for them to reach all their goals? We're a long way into this, and I don't think that it is. So how much more can they improve between now and the time where maybe they're able to add to it? I think that's what we watch. And, you know, last night again against the White Sox, they just didn't generate it all. It took a couple of errors in the ninth inning for them to get to, you know, more than two runs in that game. So I think we just keep watching it. And look, I hope they keep winning every game along the way while they figure it out.
Well, part of it, too, you have to keep in mind that, you know, the pitcher that they faced in the game, Sean Burke for the White Sox, the Royals had never faced him before. And so you could tell early in the game that they were trying to figure the guy out. I mean, when you've gone up against a guy even one other time, You've got some film on him. You're going to study the pitcher that you're going up against. And they didn't have anything on Sean Burke. They didn't know what that was going to look like. And you could tell early on in the game that it was less about they weren't executing and more about they were just trying to figure him out. And so it did take a little bit of time for that to kind of come to fruition for the Royals. But I think here's where I'm at with all of it. They're in a position right now, and I think last night's game was kind of a microcosm of it, where it's not going to be pretty, but they're going to keep the line moving and they're going to do whatever they need to do to get a win. And if that means that they're scraping across runs late in the game and they're taking advantage of errors from an opponent, then so be it. It doesn't have to be this magical, glorious offensive, just big time effort, as long as it's just they're doing what they need to do to get enough runs across the board to support their pitching and let the pitching be the catalyst to have them win ball games. So I'm not in a position right now where I'm concerned about their offense. Sure, I'd love to see them score more runs night in and night out. Absolutely, anybody would. But I'm not in a panic mode right now. I think my panic meter is way down low. I mean, they were 8-14. They're now 21-16, you know, so like they're 15-2 in their last 13-2 in their last 15 games. So I until they, and I think I mentioned this in the last hour, until they start losing ball games, and the reason they're losing ball games is because they're not getting enough runs across the board. At that point, I'll reassess where I'm at, but I'm not concerned right now.
They went through a 10 game stretch where that's why they got down to 8-14. You know, they're still just scoring. They're scoring under 3.5 runs a game. Like it's
pretty
bad.
But remember those games when they lost, when they were 2-8 on that road trip and all of that, it was to the point to where they weren't giving their starting pitching any run support whatsoever. They were not getting out to leads. They were not able to, give their pitchers any kind of breathing room at all during the course of the game. They're doing that now. And we talked about it before. They're getting out to the most part, last night notwithstanding, getting out to early leads and then letting their starting pitching do the work. That's the recipe. That's really been the standard for the Royals. As long as they're doing that, again, I've got no concern.
I think the other thing for me that I'm trying to be fair with is who they've been playing. They haven't been playing juggernaut offenses. And I think their pitching is awesome. I think it's as complete. And I said this before the season started. I believed it then. I think they've got a chance to have from top to bottom a pitching staff that's better than any in the American League.
But to be fair, you were also concerned going into the season that they didn't have Brady Singer. I remember you saying that even after adding Lorenzen, that you thought that the pitching staff would probably take a step back.
I do. And I think it probably still will overall from what it was a year ago, but their bullpen's so much better that they can afford it. Right. Maybe they replicate last year, which would be fantastic. But when they played really good offenses, their starting pitching wasn't nearly as good, as it has been as they've been playing some bad offenses. So I want to be fair to that too. Again, I love their pitch. I think they have more pitching than any team in the American League right now, top to bottom. I still think that. But I just don't want to just gloss over any issues because they're winning a bunch of games.
I'm not glossing over any issues. I'm saying that I feel like because of the talent of their pitching staff, that they don't need to be a juggernaut offense. And
no, I don't. Yeah, I agree. But they can't be an offense in October that's only scoring 3.5 runs a game. Or under 3.5 runs a game. Like, it's going to have to be better.
Maybe. I mean, maybe down the stretch, maybe, late in the season. And so I do feel like once we get closer to the trade deadline and all of that, and we'll see where Caglione is at that point, we'll see who's on the block, if they feel like they need to add, an asset. And look, I wouldn't be opposed to that. I remember the World Series run, they made a trade for Ben Zobrist, because they felt like they needed another bat to be able to get them over the hump to be able to compete and ultimately win a World Series. So I wouldn't be opposed to that whatsoever. I'm just not willing right now. And I feel like this has become kind of the discourse, at least from you, where it's like they're 13-2 in their last 15 games. And you're sounding alarm bells about they're not scoring any runs. They're 13-2 in their last 15 games. They've gotten themselves back into contention in the division. They've gotten themselves at the very minimum right now. They're in one of the wild card spots as it stands right now. I know they've got teams in front of them in the division, but they are finding ways to win. They may not make it easy on themselves, and they needed help from the White Sox last night for a walk-off win based on just a comedy of errors in the field from Chicago. But a win's a win. They're 13-2 in their last 15 games. And it's surprising to me that, like, it's like this alarm bell panic. Like, they need to figure something out. Well, they are. They're figuring out ways to win. They're keeping the line moving. They're doing what they need to do and letting it be put on the shoulders of their pitching staff. And the pitching staff is coming through every time.
Yeah, I think it's a good team. I think it can be a great elite team. But I can't ignore the fact that they can't score runs right now. I think their best chance is for the middle of the lineup to do what we thought it would do and for them to raise it, let's call it 3.5, to even if it's just 4 runs a game, right? Even if they just get up to league average, I think it's going to make a huge difference. I just don't want to, just like when they were 8-14, how about this? When they were 8-14, What did you know? Jalen Thompson came on, said panic meter probably about a 3. I agreed with that. The same for me is true on the other side of it too. Like now that they've gone through this stretch of 15 games against bad competition, whatever, and I also don't want to overreact to that and just say everything's good. Like they're going to win a million games.
No, I'm not saying everything's good. But I'm saying let's enjoy what we're watching right now, where they are finding ways to win and they're leaning on the talent of their pitching staff, which is, while, you know, contrast it with the offense, which is not very good right now. They have one of, if not the best pitching staffs in the league, maybe in all of Major League Baseball right now.
I think it's the best. Yeah.
You know, and so I think that, you know, it would be different if they were like, let's say Seth Lugo came out last night and just got shellacked. You know, gave up 5-6 runs or whatever. At that point, when that has happened for the Royals, you look at it and outside of the finale against Baltimore on Sunday, when it was a home run fest back and forth between both teams, you have an opponent that, you know, kind of beats up on the starter and they put up 5, 6, 7 runs or whatever. That's been pretty difficult for the Royals to battle back from. They're not really built that way. And that really has not been a recipe for success for Kansas City so far this season, but that hasn't happened. And so until that sort of thing starts to happen, until either the pitching rotation, the starters cannot get through multiple innings and they get beat up on and the Royals are playing from behind consistently and they don't have an explosive enough offense to be able to claw their way back into games, or maybe they get a lead and the bullpen starts blowing games left and right and the offense can't turn it around for them and can't pick up the pitching staff, then until then, I'm not panicking whatsoever. I'm like they're doing what needs to be done to win these ball games. And I think that they're leaning on their strengths and I'm fine with it right now.
But when they played Cleveland, the Yankees and Detroit, those things
3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
I know. Okay. So for three, so for
Salvi wasn't hitting 3 weeks ago.
Now 2 weeks, it's
good. Salvi wasn't hitting 3 weeks ago. Vinny Pasquantino wasn't hitting 3 weeks ago. Jonathan India wasn't hitting 3 weeks ago. Drew Waters wasn't on the roster at that point. Like the season's going to ebb and flow, and I'm not going to look back on what they did 3 weeks ago to judge what the team is doing right now. In the same way, I'm not going to look at what the team is doing right now in 3 weeks from now and try to make some kind of judgment based on what they did in the past. The team is going to ebb and flow.
I don't think the Royals get that luxury because if it's a perceived problem, they have to do what they need to do to solve it. They can't only address the problem.
They are. Right. I mean, the guys in the middle of the lineup are hitting significantly better now than they were during
but
that.
They're not scoring any more runs.
But they're hitting. Their averages are up. Their OPSs are up. All of that. Like, you're the same guy. And this is what has just kind of driven me crazy about these Royals conversations is that you actually yesterday on the show, you said that you were talking about, like, should they move Salvi or should they move Vinny? And like these guys have increased their batting average.
Yeah, you're like,
well, they're not going to trade Salvi. They're not going
to
trade.
Is going to play first base. They'll
and those like especially Salvi in the last 2 weeks has been phenomenal. And Pasquantino leads the team in home runs and RBIs. Like, can we focus on the fact that this team is winning ball games right now instead of poking holes into every little thing that they're doing or not doing right now?
It's not. It's
they're
not
13-2.
Holes, Tommy, they're not scoring any runs.
They're 13-2.
Okay. I understand what the record is. That doesn't mean they're a perfect team that is just good to go the rest of the way because they are on a 13-2 run against a bunch of really bad teams. I'm happy that they are. The Royals are my pick to go to the World Series. I'm not being Debbie Downer with the Royals. I'm trying.
I think you kind of are.
I'm not. I'm saying, are they good enough offensively to make noise in the postseason? That is the question that I am asking now.
It's May 7th. It's May 7th. Appreciate what we're looking at right now. I'm not saying
and
that.
Just so don't even care. Like, we
no, I'm not. I'm not saying.
Wonder,
no, I'm not
can't
saying
wonder
that.
Wonder about
I'm not,
the offense down the road.
I'm not saying that at all.
Right now.
But who's on the trade block right this second? And is JJ Piccolo going to go
the
and
trade
do
trade block? Oh, you mean for other teams?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, is JJ Piccolo feeling like he needs to go make a move right now when they're 13-2 in their last 15 games? Probably not. Probably not. That's probably not part of the conversation. Probably not on the table right now. And that's okay. That is okay. Once we get closer to the trade deadline, sure. Like, as we start to know, like, I know at one point you were like, man, they need to make a move sooner rather than later. Like, they need to start calling teams. They need to start calling. Like, do you realize what they would have to give up to be able to get a bat right this second, as opposed to riding what they have and they're winning ball games in spite of their deficiencies? If they get closer to the trade deadline, when the market starts to get more active, that's the more strategic move as it is, you know, as it stands. Like, that, if they're the only team that is calling around being like, guys, we need a bat, we need an outfield bat, who do you have available? These teams are going to eat them alive in the negotiations. So
yeah,
let's ride with what they've got right now.
Team. They're not the only team in baseball evaluating things on May 7th. That's not true. It's fine. If they're not 13-2 and the offense is struggling, can we have a conversation about the offense at that point?
Absolutely. We can have a conversation at any time.
Okay.
But, you know,
we're only allowed to evaluate the team based on their doing at the present moment. I got it. Okay.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that why don't we appreciate what's going on right now with this team
why don't we do both?
Okay.
Like, why can't we do both? Why can't we appreciate them winning these games and wonder about the postseason for a team that looks like
literally led off this program today talking about the guy in Double A and the home runs he hit, as opposed to the Royals, who are the hottest team in Major League Baseball right now, who are 13-2 in their last 15 games and are, you know, they got the best pitching staff in the country, but we're talking about who's down in the minors right now and what they need to do to get him moved up right away. Or like in
we talked about that because we had like 4 minutes to talk.
I'm saying, like, I wish that we could just like appreciate what we're watching right now from this Royals team that is relevant and in contention early on in the season, have battled their way back from a less than stellar start. Even though they're still not hitting the ball great, they are winning despite that. And we're watching dominant pitching from both the starters and in the bullpen. I'd like to appreciate, I'm not saying that we can't evaluate what they need to do to win a championship. That's not my point whatsoever. But on a night when they win on a Bobby Witt Jr. walk-off, that was one of the most exciting games that we've seen all season long from the Royals, and it has kind of like shown that the magic is there, and like they're gelling and things are rounding into form and things are looking really good for them right now. We're talking about how, well, they're still not scoring any runs. Like, I would rather just be like, look, they're winning these ball games. Like, and they're doing it on the backs of great starting pitching, great bullpen, and they're keeping the line moving offensively. Could it be better? Sure. Every single team in every single sport could always be better. I'm not disputing that whatsoever, but I'm saying let's appreciate what we're watching right now.
I have never intended to not appreciate the fact that the team is winning a ton of games. Not one time. I'm glad that they're winning a ton of games. They've been a lot of fun to watch. I watch them every night. I think it's totally fair to point out a flaw on the team still that has remained a flaw through the winning. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The Royals will get more tonight against the White Sox. It is another 6:40 first pitch. You'll hear it here on KFH. That pregame coverage begins at 6:30. It's Waka on the mound. Against Cannon. Again, the White Sox don't have bad starting pitching. That's been like the one small sliver for them this year that's been pretty good, is their starting pitching The guy they go up against tonight has been very serviceable, we'll call it. So it's Waka tonight, and then it's Day Baseball with Chris Bubich tomorrow as the Royals round out the White Sox series and continue the homestand.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Tommy stepped away here for a second, but we've got Sri Islada in, our KU Insider. You can follow him at SHRE98 on X. You can find all his work at the KC Star. Shreyas, look, it's been oddly quiet, I think, here lately. How have you been?
Good, not too bad. Enjoying the quietness of May, as they say.
I saw you put this out yesterday. Jeff Long is going to be on the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. What has he even been doing?
I saw he had some previous experience with the committee a little bit, but I thought it was a little nuts. I think he follows me on Twitter, so I didn't want to say anything to I think him and his daughter actually follow me on Twitter now that I think about it. But so I was trying to be a little wise with my words in what I put out, but I was a little stunned by that development. And I think a lot of KU fans were as well, but pretty interesting. Especially if
I just don't know what he's been up to. It didn't go well for him, and things have been turned around now, of course. I thought that was interesting too. Let's start with Norm Roberts. We didn't spend a ton of time with this yesterday. Norm Roberts retires. Was this expected at all?
I think there were some rumblings that potentially some staff shakeups would happen this at the end of the season, but I don't think there was a direct, okay, Norm Roberts or X person is going to retire. I think I just heard some murmurs about it. I think the interesting thing is, these guys are getting older, right? Like this is another kind of indication of that is these guys are getting older. Bill Self is getting older and not to raise the alarm bells, but is something to think about of how many years Bill Self has left. And I think it's indication of the fact that staff is moving into that point where, there are going to be assistants and Self thinking about retirement in the next few years.
But what is it? So what do they do now? The timing is interesting because we've seen like assistant coach movement all across the country, but it's already kind of happened. So is there a succession plan or that's why I ask if it was expected, because Kansas hasn't done anything, at least that I've seen, to now fill that spot.
There's been a lot of murmurs about Jacques Wong from former Brooklyn Nets coach, former Jayhawk, coming in, maybe potentially take that spot. There's also the idea that maybe they promote Chase Buford, who technically can't recruit at the moment because they have the recruiting rule. So maybe they could promote him and then bring somebody else in to take Chase's spot. Okay. So those are the two things that I think they potentially can do. Maybe bringing somebody else with a Big 12 experience a little bit, a fired coach, Boykins maybe, something like that, could be another name. Just something where they have a good amount of experience coaching-wise, I wouldn't be surprised. Or, maybe getting Buford kind of promoted so they can have them out there on the recruiting trail as an asset, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't think it's a terribly big deal. What do you think? Just, I guess, while we're on it, what does the staff need more of, recruiting or actual like game plan, X's and O's type stuff? We know assistants do all kinds of different things.
Well, I think X's and O's are the most important thing, right? Like if I believe that they can get the right roster and the right guys, I think the big thing is now, maximizing the guys that they do get. To their full capabilities, right? Like, obviously the guys that have left Kansas haven't had amazing seasons, but Ernest Udeh and Subi Ejiofor have had years they've grown and gotten better because they were surrounded by the right roster, talent, and the coaching staffs to kind of maximize their talents. I wasn't saying that was not going to happen in Kansas, but it took some time for them to get better, and they did, and they found the right spots. But I do think, having another coach that's a little younger, maybe plays more modern basketball style, wouldn't hurt Kansas. I think the way things are moving, we're in for another season where shooting is going to be a question mark. And that's fine if their defense is really good, which I think it can be. But There could be some ugly shooting games for this Kansas team, depending on who or who they don't bring in. Right now, they don't have anybody that shoots above 35% from three outside of one player.
So let's talk about that then. Who do they bring in? Like, what are we, what's out there? Because that, when I said it's been eerily quiet, I guess that's what I meant. Like, it hasn't, there hasn't been a lot of noise right now for Kansas. So what is happening? Is there still a big fish for this team? I feels like there needs to be. Is it still Williams from Tech? He hasn't signed anywhere yet, right? Like, what's taking so long?
With the Williams thing, there's no real conclusion that matter until the NBA Combine happens. He's going to go to the NBA Combine. He's going to get the feedback, and I'm not sure Kansas is going to wait that long. Let's call it what it is. They are also linked to Dame Sarr, a guy who played at Barcelona, you know, played overseas for a bit, a younger guy. He would be a huge get for Kansas. He could be – he's 6'5". He would probably fill in the shooting guard wing role for Kansas. I don't think they get both is what I kind of surmised. The price tag for both would be very difficult to get both of them. So it's one or the other. But Dame has a lot of interest from a lot of different schools. UNC, Tennessee, all these schools are interested in him and his services. And he's in the younger side. So he's one of those guys that could be in the 2026 draft next year. With the Williams thing, I was talking to a guy that covers the NBA draft or one of the big outlets. And, you know, he gives me a lot of information sometimes. He's like, I think he's a second rounder. And I asked him, like, do you think it matters if he comes back or not? And he was like, well, it kind of depends on the NIL situation. If he's making more NILs, you know, I'd say he should go back. And I think his camp and him are monitoring kind of everything out there. His agent texted me the other day when I had my mailbag come out to kind of talk about that. I think he was curious to see what the evaluator said and what I'd heard a little bit. So he was like, oh, can you send me the mail back? I was like, I got a little nervous, but I was like, he didn't say anything. He was like, thanks, appreciate it. So it definitely I think they're trying to monitor what's out there. I said it in the mailbag, but if he does come back from the NBA draft and Kansas hasn't picked up Dame Sarr, I think there's a good chance that Williams is a Jayhawk.
That's good. I Williams, I mean, it's kind of a philosophical thing anymore with these guys. Shreya Slaughter joining us, our KU insider, that mailbag you can find at the KC Star. What is the best option for a lot of these guys? I mean, especially for a guy, if there's mutual interest who thinks he could wind up at Kansas, and I understand going through the process, but I can't imagine very many scenarios where financially going to the NBA is going to be more fruitful for Williams than going to Kansas next year. It's a wild thing to think about, but that's where we are in college sports. Why even like, to me, it's not an easy decision, but it's like, what, like you're not going to hurt your draft stock at Kansas. I don't think you're only going to help it, and you're going to make more money. And a second round pick in the NBA, that's not that, you know, you could get cut. Like, there's nothing guaranteed. Like, I don't know. I think Kansas is the better option.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think my devil's advocate to that would be sometimes these guys just want to play pro. They're done with college. They're done with the classes. They're done with that aspect of it.
I get that.
You know, and they just want to get on with their, you know, pro career, whether that's in the G League or the NBA or overseas or whatever. With Williams, I think it would be fruitful for him to come back to Kansas to play alongside Darren Peterson and maybe raise his draft stock slightly. Maybe instead of being a late second rounder or off some boards, he goes to a early second rounder, even late first rounder. We've seen it happen with some of these guys. Like,
absolutely.
You know, like Jalen Wilson, Kevin McCullough. These guys were guys who probably were not, you know, on a lot of boards the year before they got drafted. I mean, I know Kevin was a little bit. There were some murmurs of, you know, maybe late first, early second, but then obviously the injury happened. But, you know, just going back to with Williams' situation, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think the big thing to him is how much does he want to play pro versus how much he wants to play college ball. And, you know, I think is Kansas going to sit and wait around for him to go through the process, make a decision. Or are they going to just go after a guy like Dame Sarr, where the process could be quicker? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dame comes to visit campus in the next week or so, if it is as serious as a lot of reports are saying.
So we saw, you bring him up, and I don't know anything about him because I've watched a lot of Spanish, you know, amateur basketball. But Kansas State just went that road with a dude from Serbia that looks really good. We know was expensive. How much is this international market going to open up now because of NIL and what those dollar figures are like for these guys to bridge into the NBA through high major college basketball?
I definitely think it's going to open up quite a bit. You know, I feel like it's something that's in the realm of possibility where, you know, guys, you know, you're going to find them late in the process. Like this is, we're in May right now. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised where guys like Johnny Furphy or a Dame Saar or et cetera are picked up late in the process because they're just better options, honestly, picking up guys internationally sometimes and looking at the transfer portal. We're getting to a point where the portal is kind of getting, there's not a lot out there. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot out there that's going to make Kansas better, A, at a reasonable price.
Well, okay. So the price tag, I mean, outside of, you know, bringing back Flory, has anything been terribly expensive in relative terms for them? Like, it feels like they're sitting on a bag a little bit.
They're definitely sitting on a little bit of a bag, but Darren Peterson is getting the bag as well.
That's true.
Those two guys are comprising of the most of the alleged what would the budget would be, kind of what I've surmised. But let's call it what it is. I think it's important to remember. I asked Bill Self about the GM question back in March or February or whatever. And I, you know, he kind of went through like what they want out of the process. The number one thing he said is a guy who can get more people to donate money, you know, a guy who can be a fundraiser, which is an important process to remember because is that, you know, indirectly he's saying, I want a guy who can give us a little more money to play with. And that, along with Hunter Dickinson's comments of talking about, oh, there wasn't a guy making like millions of dollars on the roster, I think is very interesting to me. I don't know how much he was telling the truth, but I, from everywhere, all these NIL rankings and, you know, on three, all this other stuff, I don't think Kansas was top 10. I don't even think they were top 20 in NIL money spent last year.
Well, but they will be this year. Darren
Peterson. No, 100%. 100%. Yeah.
I don't know that I buy that from Dickinson, but whatever. You know, the GM thing, I mean, that's all these GMs are across the country. That's all they're doing. They're like Shaq is going to be. What do you think he's there for? Like he's there to get people excited and donate money. Of course, that's what's happening. And I think it's fun that it's happening. I have no problem with it. I didn't even know Kansas was in the market for one.
I don't think they're out of the realm of possible. I mean, like I asked Bill about it back in March. He wasn't sure if he'd bring out a GM or not, but I don't think it's completely out of the question that that could happen. But I mean, Bill like wants somebody that he can tell what to do and they'll do it. And I think that's the big thing is they don't want to bring out a GM where they supersede Bill Self.
I think there would be plenty of those guys out there, but you also don't want to waste your time. I mean, it needs to be splashy. It can't just be a former player that's not doing anything right now. That's interesting. I'll have to think about that now. Who would be the best Kansas GM? Maybe we'll talk about that next week. Find all of Shreyas's work on X at SHRE98. Find it all at the KC Star, that mailbag you mentioned, all the latest on what's left out in the portal for KU Hoops. Shreyas, we appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, that'll do it for a Wednesday on Sports Daily. Thanks to Kevin Saul, Wichita State Athletic Director, for hopping on with us. Thanks to Shreyas Latta, our KU insider, for jumping in as well. You can catch both of those if you missed them on the Odyssey app anytime you'd like. Plus the other discussions, including many on the Kansas City Royals Red Hot. We'll continue to watch the NBA and NHL playoffs tonight. It's all coming for you. Royals baseball right here. 6:30 pregame coverage begins on KFH. We appreciate everybody for being with us. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.